last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, Polychrome is here, and she's dancing around with her little sisters, and then, well, I don't know if they're little, but anyway, she falls onto ground, and she's stuck there. The rainbow leaves without her, and now she's in fairy country, and she's like, fuck, it happened again. And she's crying and crying, and then little Miss Betsy and her little crew, Shaggy, that rose princess girl, I forgot her name, Ozga, and someone else, I can't remember though, but they're all there, and they're like, hey, do you want to help us find Shaggy Man's brother? He's with the Gnome King. Let's go get him. And she said, okay, yeah, you'll need my help, so I'm gonna go. And so they go. What do they do after that? Oh my god, what do they do? What the fuck do they do? Oh my god, they're going. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. So they go to the mountains, and they're almost to the Gnome King, and they see a well, and fucking TikTok is in that well. They fucking drag him up. They wind him up. They put them all together, and then they're all together, and he's like, oh my god, I was supposed to tell you this, da, 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 da. And then the fucking one girl in her army, Queen Anne from Oogaboo, she joins, and she's like, I'm here. And the private's like, I'm sick of you guys. Actually, I'm not going to be the private anymore. So he's not the private. And now TikTok's the private for some reason. And that happens. And then Ozga and Files have like a little romance thing together. And then I don't really remember what happens after that. So I'm just going to end it there because I'm going way too long.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 46 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange Land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 8, TikTok of Oz, covering chapters 9 and 10.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone
and Wyatt Swanger.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, friend of Judy's, Hannah Aguirre.
Ooh, that is me.
That is me. And it is you, and I love you.
You
just played last time on where you recapped what happened last time in TikTok of Oz. Why, how long did that take?
1 minute and 53 seconds.
Okay, a little long. I actually didn't get too many notes on that. Wyatt, did you have anything?
The only thing probably is that when Betsy found Polychrome, they also had Hank the mule with them.
Oh, of course.
You were remembering someone, and you were right. But other than that, pretty spot on. I would say the only other thing is that the reason that TikTok became the private is because Files didn't want to like attack and tie up all those girls.
That's true.
So
that's
right. Instead, he resigned, and then they said, well, still, let's do an army, and then TikTok is private.
Good
and then
note.
The wildflowers
poor
told them where
TikTok.
To go.
That's
I know.
Note.
I know. No salary either.
That's all right. He fucked himself.
Well, I'm sure our listeners think they know what I'm going to say, but they don't know what I'm going to say, because this week before we started recording, our producer Charlie whipped up a very special recipe. So Charlie, come hop on the mic and tell us what's in these cups.
Okay, so this cocktail I whipped up is called the Medoid Monarch. It is a base of Coors Light. We got Bloody Mary mix, Worcestershire sauce, peppercini juice, black pepper, shot of vodka, and a garnish with a pepperoncini.
The recipe for which you can find on our Instagram at Oz Hour Podcast. Everybody give it up for Charlie.
Charlie, yay! Would you like to say let's slurp?
Let's slurp.
That's delightful.
Ooh.
I love a Bloody Mary.
That's good, I think. Chapter 9. Ruggedo's rage is rash and reckless. Say that three times fast.
Ruggedo's rage is rash and reckless.
Okay. No one can say it.
So the road that the flowers lead the gang down, it's like seems aimless and windy, but as they go, they can tell that they're drawing nearer and nearer to some mountains that are in the distance.
So, like, they knew that no matter where they went, they were going towards some mountains, but there's, like, one that they're, like, making it toward. And Files is like, okay, like, this feels like we're in the right place. Like, it feels like we're going the right way. And by all accounts, it does feel that way.
And he's absolutely correct, because we follow the camera panning far under the mountains.
The dolly.
Yeah.
And it goes like into this huge chamber with jewels glistening in the walls and ceilings.
Yeah. Big, big gemstone room. It's just a big, beautiful room with a, quote, virgin gold throne carved in the middle, which I think just means it was just gold that was in the earth and they carved it where it stood.
Like brand new gold.
Yeah, it's like it's not processed. I don't know.
How much does that cost?
$10 million.
Priceless.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Our fact checkers are on the case.
Yeah.
But in this chamber, the Gnome King sits on his throne, and he's wearing gorgeous robes and a crown that's made of one huge jagged cut ruby, and we learn all about him, which is pretty much all the stuff that we already knew about him.
Yeah. He has a long white beard. He's a round little man. He has a red face. He looks like Santa Claus, but he's actually really mean and unhappy. And we also learn here that he hates all the mortals, because they take all the jewels and the metals from the earth and they keep them above ground where he can't get them back, which I'm like, can't he?
Like, he tried to.
He's actively waged a war against people above ground.
But honestly, like, I get him being pissed off about this, because it's like he signed the job description and it said, you are the Gnome King, you are the ruler of all the metal and the gems. And so when people take that, that's not fair, in my
opinion.
That's
true. He's giving off the same energy as he was before, which is interesting because he forgot everything.
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
Well, he learned it all again, which means it's true.
I guess if you're from the same environment that you came from, you're going to eventually believe the same thing that you always believed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is like kind of weird, but I thought about this earlier, so I'm glad this came up. But like, when, like, the whole Water of Oblivion thing, right? Like, in Oz, what that did is it made all the wicked people in Oz, like, forget about their wickedness and then be good again. So, or, like, be good for the first time.
But then they learned to be good, and then they remembered that the water made them forget, so they made it the Forbidden Fountain.
Yes.
So it's like there's always something that doesn't get forgotten.
That's true. But, like, where I was going was, like, if they're people, like, they can change. But, like, the Gnome King is, like, almost, like, like little god or like spirit.
He's a fairy
thing. Yeah, like he can't change. Like, you can't say, oh, forget everything and then you'll be good again, because he's just
can't teach an
bad
old dog new tricks.
Yeah, can't teach a fucking Gnome King new tricks. That's all I'm saying.
Can't teach an old god new tricks.
Yeah.
Ruggedo, he's sitting in his throne, he's nodding off, he's half asleep, and suddenly he's stirred awake and is just like pissed immediately after being like just and like grabs the like hitter to the gong. What's that called? Gong hitter.
The hammer, I guess.
Hammer. And he starts banging on the gong next to his throne.
Yeah. And then the sound of the gong is rippling throughout the gnome kingdom or whatever. I don't know where he is, or if it's like where he used to live, or if it is where he used to live, but like all the gnomes who are like around his palace, like hear it and they're all like doing their mining shit and they're like, oh fuck, like Gnome King is pissed off, and they just keep doing what they're doing because they can never stop, but they all hate it.
Yeah. They know he's going to be pissed, and so does our old friend Calico.
That's right.
The Gnome King's high chancellor. So he comes out and he's like, oh, the gong means me. The gong means me. Here I come. And he comes to check in on the Gnome King. And he's like, hey, Ruggedo, what's up? And Ruggedo is like, those foolish mortals are up.
It's
so
stupid.
And they want to come down.
What's up? Yeah. I also
didn't know
they
said
that. They said
what's up back then.
Yeah, in 1914. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Maybe it was just for like moments like that.
Oh yeah.
Like to be quirky.
Only when it suits a pun.
Yeah.
But Calico's like, what's up? He's like, the mortals are up and they want to come down. And Calico's like, down here? And Ruggedo's like, yeah, I can feel it. Like, I can feel it in my bones. Whenever an invader wants to come into my caverns, I know it's happening.
Which is interesting. That's, I don't know if we knew that about him.
No, yeah. We definitely didn't.
Seems
we've
like
seen
an interesting
him
skill.
Yeah, and maybe that's what makes him the Gnome King. Who knows? But Calico's like, well, like, what are we supposed to do? And the Gnome King says, well, why don't you look through the magical spyglass so you can see where they are? So Calico goes through this like tube on the wall, like it looks like, I mean, it's just like a pipe almost. And he looks through it. And we're told that this tube goes like through the side of the mountain, like takes all sorts of turns and angles, but it's magic. So you can see straight through it as if it were straight. And to me, this is just giving periscope like in a submarine.
Yes, very much submarine periscope. He's like, awooga,
awooga. Yeah. Yeah. He calls it magic, but it's actually maybe just science.
But yeah, Calico looks through it and he's like, oh, I see them, Your Majesty. And the Gnome King's like, okay, well, what do they look like?
Well, this should be no surprise to you. That they're just about the queerest assortment of people this guy's ever seen.
And I would say of the queer assortments of people we've had, this is the absolute least queer assortment of people. Like, Anne and all of the Oogaboos are just people.
They're just people.
Yeah.
The Shaggy Man's just a person. Betsy's just a person. Hank's a donkey. Like, yeah. They're not weird at all.
It seems like a normal, I mean,
it's all a bunch of people.
The only things that are weird is, like, Rose Princess, who has, like, a rose hair, I think. I think of her head as being, like, a rose, pretty much, with a human face.
Her whole entire head's, like, a rose.
I think of it as being, like a bonnet, almost, but being, like, rose petals around her head.
Yeah, I can jive with that. I mean, I don't think it said that anywhere, but I like that imagery.
Yeah.
But she's just like a
and then husk Polychrome.
Girl. She's like light green, but she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Polychrome, who's probably just a small
what does she like girl? See-through?
She has like gossamery clothes, I guess.
She always gives me like she's see-through. Like I can see right through her.
It kind of makes me think of that Christmas special where Jack Frost comes down and he's like, he's playing motion, but also like see-through.
I do. Yeah, that is kind of what I'm picturing.
It's
a
giving
bit
heat
too.
Miser. But then TikTok is strange. Yeah. So,
TikTok is strange.
You know,
but like, they should know who TikTok is, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll call him later.
Frankly, this is like the most humanoid group we've ever had.
There's no
so
scarecrow.
Really
there's
sure
no
what's
Tin Man,
no
fucking
Elfring
Jack
bombs in on the
pumpkin
joke.
Head.
At this point, Elfring Bomb knows what the joke is. And he's
also
like,
the fucking, what's his name? Fucking.
Yeah.
Fire Eyes.
Oh, the
Woozy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All sorts. But they're queer.
Yeah, they're queer. Calico basically does what we just did, and it's just like describe them. And he's like, yeah, there's a copper man. He seems to work by machinery. And the Gnome King is like, oh, that's TikTok. Like, I just threw him in a well a couple days ago.
But the very thing is, familiar.
Like, how are you going to say, like, oh, I'm not scared of him. I just threw him in a well a couple days ago. Well, he's right here marching
he's
up
back
to your
out,
he got out of the
again.
Well.
Yeah.
So that's fucking scary to me.
That's kind of scary.
That would scare me. If I especially like threw something away and then all of a sudden it's back on my door,
yeah.
I'm like... Oh.
But it also has like an army with it. Like,
yeah.
That's even scarier.
That is even scarier.
But the Calico is like, oh, like there's also like a little girl with them. Yeah, Gnome King is like, oh my God, Dorothy? It's Dorothy?
Dorothy?
Yeah, exactly. And in the original version of my notes before they were deleted, I had that.
Did you really?
I had Dorothy. But Calico is like, no, like it's some other girl. And actually, like, there's three girls, but it's also not Dorothy or Ozma. But my question again is like, how does the Gnome King remember Dorothy? Didn't it all get wiped away last year?
Assume.
I don't know, man. I really don't.
When they got back to the Gnome Kingdom. When they got back to the Gnome Kingdom, there must
have
been like history books or something there.
I'm gonna get really into reading.
Can someone teach me how to read? Because my memory is wiped.
The library is open.
But
yes.
Speaking of them knowing things that they shouldn't know, Calico's also like, oh, there's also an army of men from Oogaboo. It's like, you don't know what Oogaboo is. You don't know what that is.
They just look like normal people. They should at least. So I don't know that,
yeah.
But it's
and
also
he's
strange.
Like, they're all officers. They're carrying swords. And then Calico's still looking. He's like, and there's a shaggy man who seems harmless. And there's a small donkey with big ears.
And the Gnome King's like, okay, fucking whatever. We could destroy all of them in a second. Like, none of that even matters. But then Calico does share some things that are interesting.
Something crazy.
He's not so sure about that. Because the people of Oogaboo are very strong, and the Rose Princess is a fairy, and Polychrome can't be injured by any gnome because she's the Rainbow's daughter.
So much.
Yeah.
Then the Gnome King says, wait, Polychrome is with them. And the Gnome King says that if Polychrome is coming, then they are not on a peaceful errand.
Just because she can't get hurt. Like, I mean, I get, like, if there were, if I saw someone walking up to my front door and they were wearing, like, full body armor, I'd be like, you're not here because you're my friend. And so if she is immune to the gnomes or whatever, I kind of get it where it's like, that's kind of sketchy.
She's immune to everything everywhere she goes.
That's like, true.
He makes it sound like she's his arch nemesis. Like, Dorothy's not his arch nemesis. Polychrome is. Whatever. But the Gnome King is like, oh, wait, hold on. If anyone's coming here, it can't be a peaceful errand. I hate everyone and they all hate me too. Duh.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Also, how do you know that?
I know. He doesn't know everybody. No. I don't think.
But you can't remember.
Yeah, somebody might accidentally find you, idiot. But yeah, the Gnome King is like, okay, we have to figure out how to stop these people from getting here. And he asks Calico where the travelers are at this moment.
This is interesting. At this moment, they're going through the rubber country. So something we've never even heard of. And the Gnome King is like, oh, okay, great. Let's use the magnetic rubber wires. Magnetic rubber wires. What could that possibly mean?
I don't know. I'm not a mechanic.
I know. Well, I'm not either, and I don't think it makes any sense.
No.
But my brain does go to, like, kind of like, I don't know, like engine or like, I'm like, wires, like, okay, why? Like, wire what? Is it electricity? We'll find out.
I'm like, maybe like magnetic has more definitions than I'm aware of.
Also like rubber.
Yeah. And then wire.
I think of like a tire.
Like, and
this is like rubber.
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 Oh.
No, you were right.
Wait.
I said rubber.
Oh, okay. I missed your inflection.
Because now I don't know.
But Calico's like, yeah, our magnetic rubber wires should be in good working order. So then Calico asks the Gnome King, he's like, is it your royal will that we have some fun with these invaders? And the Gnome King's like, yes.
Why is he so gay?
Because I did his voice.
No,
like that.
He's gay.
Yeah, it's the way.
Every time I've seen the Gnome King,
when he's in those little slippers in Return to Oz,
exactly.
He's like looking for these.
It's the only way I see him now. His little feet.
I get that though. This is all giving Return to Oz like really hard.
We're back,
including the Ruby Crown for some reason. But anyway, I made the Ruby Key. But either way. The Gnome King is like, yeah, we're going to fucking teach them a lesson. So then the camera pans back out from underground all the way through the bedrock. There's like a fossil, and then it comes back up to the friends. And they're just walking. But what they don't know is that they're walking in the rubber country.
So they've kind of noticed like everything's more gray in color. The path is like softer. But they don't know that like everything, like the rocks and the trees and everything around them is rubber. And they come to a deep brook with fast moving water through it.
And there's a bunch of stepping stones. And they're, you know, like just across the brook. So, you know, you can step across, great. And TikTok is just walking. So he's like, and he happens to step on the first one on purpose.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, this is the way across.
But then something insane happens. Because the stepping stone kind of like sinks in a little bit. And then it kind of goes spring, and he goes flying into the air, like tumbling, somersaulting, circling. He falls way behind the group. Like he's like back on the path a ways, and he falls onto a boulder, and then he just bounces back up in the air.
Just keeps bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. Like how a basketball would, how it's like big bounce,
like
big
a dribble.
Bounce, smaller bounce.
Yes, exactly.
Smaller bounce.
Like,
he's just like losing inertia as he goes. Yeah. But then, I mean, it's so fast that nobody notices.
Insane.
So then, like, General Cone steps on. Oh, General Apple steps on it. General Cone steps on it. By this point, everyone's like, whoa, 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 wait, what's going on? They, like, stop marching.
And then they turn around and TikTok and both the generals, it's like someone's juggling them. They're just bouncing like back boing, and forth, boing, like boing, all boing, around, boing. Just going crazy.
Yeah. So Betsy and Polychrome crack up laughing because of how crazy it looks. I think they should be scared. Yeah. But Anne is so embarrassed to see members of her army bouncing around like this. And she's like, stop. Stop it. And they're just like,
I order you to stop.
Yeah, and it's giving pinball for them.
Finally, after a while, like the bouncing does slow and they stop completely and they're able to like, get back up on their feet and come
also,
back
girl,
to the rest of the
group.
Also,
girl, I don't want you getting mad at your fucking army for like not being a military because they've been military.
Them.
Yeah.
They've been military for 1 week.
That was General Apple and General Cone.
If they're going to get tossed around by some boingy thing, they're going to get tossed around and that's that.
Yeah, yeah. Give them guns.
Yeah. Also, I
give
think
teachers guns.
Give teachers guns.
We're going to bleep that out.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
It's we didn't mention this, but in the interlude where they're all getting sprung back, Elfring Bomb says, you've probably guessed, it's the magnetic rubber wire doing this.
Okay.
But I don't understand how.
You're not
going to
just tell
not only
me that.
Did I not guess it, I forgot about the magnetic rubber wire.
Yeah.
That was not in my mind. I thought that was a rubber stone.
I didn't
thought
think it was
just we needed
rubber.
A magnetic wire for that.
I would never thought.
If it's a magnetic rubber wire, what is it doing? Oh my God. But
TikTok and the generals, they walk back over to the group and Anna's like, why did you do that? Like she's seen them do that before. Like she's like, hey, that's that thing you do. The Shaggy Man realizes what's going on and he's like, Anne, the stones, the rocks, the trees, the path, it's all rubber. Like everything around us is rubber. We need to be careful or we're going to get the bounce too. And so Files is like, okay, yeah, like let's take it easy.
Well, Polychrome decides to do the exact opposite of that.
Exact opposite.
She is like, kind of like, she's been dancing, you know, kind of her whole time. So she knows
she's
bouncing.
Giving, you know, she's giving fucking, what's the bitch from the last book? Poppy Seed. No. What's her name? Oh my God. Patchwork.
Scraps.
Oh, Scraps. Oh.
I was sorry thinking for this. Ojo, yeah. And I was like, there's not a girl.
No, she's giving Patchwork Girl, like, hardcore.
I could kind of see that, because she's
giving,
doing
like,
her thing.
Polychrome. Sorry.
Well, she's not very individual.
Polychrome came first, and you better put some respect on her name.
I just wanted to fight.
But Polychrome, like, she's dancing, and she starts bouncing. And she's bouncing higher and higher until she finally gets enough air that she's like, I can clear that stream. And she just jumps boing, over the brook and lands safely on the other side. And she calls back, and she's like, it's not rubber over here, guys. Just jump over here. And so much for taking it easy. Now everyone's trying to jump across the river.
Yeah.
So Betsy does.
Yeah, Betsy does, and she does just fine. She gets enough air, goes over, and then she calls for Hank. But Hank is an animal. And so he...
Now, why are we starting with him?
I know.
Yeah. But maybe someone should go with him, too.
Yeah, I bet the Shaggy Man could, like, put him around his, like... Maybe not around his neck, because he's probably pretty big, but... They could do something.
Someone could sit on top of him and then go together, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's ways. There's better ways,
there's
period.
There's better ways.
Because he ends up just bouncing up and down and getting pretty good air, and then he thinks he's got it. So he just goes.
Uh-oh.
And he does not make it to the other side.
Oh,
he
no.
splashes into the water. Fortunately, he doesn't get, like, swept away. He's just, like, scrambling to get out. He's splashing, okay. splashing. Betsy runs.
But he is
like,
remembering being on the ocean, and it's giving him
yeah,
PTSD.
Yeah, he's having war flashbacks.
Yeah.
He's triggered.
Yeah.
But Betsy, like, helps him out of the water, and, like, she's, like, petting him. She's like, oh, my God. And she's like, wait, this mule is completely dry. And then Polychrome goes, and she puts her hand in the water, and she's like, this is dry.
It's dry water. Apparently, it's dry water. That's what they call it.
What do you mean?
It means that it won't get you wet. That's it. It means that you won't get wet from it. It can't. I guess it doesn't do
it
what
still
normal
splashes.
Water does.
You still swim in it.
It's like
it's
when
just
you
dry.
Spray. It's like you sprayed Polychrome's hand with like waterproof spray for your suede shoes, and then it's like just beads
it's all
off.
Falls off.
Yeah, it's exactly. It just falls right off. So they're like, oh, it's wet. Everyone can just cross. It's fine. So they like call across and like, hey, it's not. It's fine. Just come on across. And then everyone.
I wouldn't want to hop over, I think.
I would want to try and hop over.
Yeah, just for fun. It's like, I've never done that before. I've walked across a river. Maybe not a dry river, whatever this is.
Yeah. The thing for me is I'm like, the reason that they're like worried about not getting across is because like if getting wet is what made them not want to walk across the river. Like, who cares? It's like, oh, we can't take those stones because they're insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be swept away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different story. Yeah. But just getting wet?
But it sounds like that was the only thing. Yeah. So
but
I'm like,
it's deep, though. Like, even if they're not going to get swept away, like, if it's your neck, you're an army marching for days on end and you're just soaking soaked. Wet.
That That's
sucks.
True.
That does suck. See, if it was up to my knees, I don't care.
Yeah. And I guess we'll never know. But it may have been, like, up to their neck. Yeah. They might have had to swim. And I guess even if it's. God,
I wouldn't want to
TikTok
swim.
TikTok do? Well, we'll never
And then all
out.
Your stuff, your backpack.
Yeah.
Oh, I assume they have a backpack.
Yeah. They all have their little tents in their pockets or something.
Mm. Oh.
Crazy.
Wet.
But they all tent. Get to the other side of the brook. And when Calico looks through his spyglass again, he's like, oh, ooh, that didn't work.
So he has to tell the Gnome King that the invaders have passed through the rubber country and they're coming up to the cavern. And the Gnome King goes absolutely fucking insane. He is screaming, hopping up and down, pulling his own hair out. He's pacing back and forth through the cavern, and every time he passes Calico, he kicks him in the shins.
In the shins.
And we're told that Calico has extremely sensitive shins. So every time, he is just screaming, like shrieking. It's horrible.
I feel so bad for him. He's got to get out of there.
Yeah, this is not right. Finally, the Gnome King calms himself down and he's like, we only have one option. We have to drop the invaders down the hollow tube. Calico's like, the hollow tube?
Uh-oh.
He's like, if we do that, we are going to make TDT Hoochoo very angry.
And the Gnome King is like, so what? TDT Hoochoo.
No.
Lives- oh, wait. Did you have a question?
No. Don't drop that word on me.
So the Gnome King is like, so what? TDT Hoochoo lives on the other side of the world. I don't care about his anger. So now, so far, all we know about TDT Hoochoo is that he lives on the other side of the world.
Yeah. But Calico tells us that he has great powers. And that the last time the Gnome King slid people through the hollow tube, TDD Hoochoo was pissed and said that he will take vengeance upon the Gnome King if he ever drops anyone in the hollow tube again.
It makes me wonder, how long has the Gnome King been here? And then the secondary question, he's already sent some people down the tube to TDD Hoochoo?
He's done it enough times that TDD Hoochoo
that
is
like,
stop it.
Had to make a law about it.
Yeah. New law, Ruggedo, no more people down the tube, honey.
Please.
But obviously, like, he just gets to this point where he's like, hollow tube.
Yeah.
Because, like, he just did it. Like, he just did it. He was like, okay, if they're going to survive the rubber country, no more plan, like, no more ideas. No plan B.
Yeah.
We're doing TDT Hoochoo.
Yeah. But the Calico is, like, honestly, like, very convincing. He's like, dude, like, you know that's not going to end right. Like, that's not going to be good for us. The Gnome King thinks about it, and he's like, okay, here's the thing. Like, there are two dangers, and so you should choose the lesser of the two dangers. So, like, do we want to, like, maybe have the wrath of TDT Hoochoo, or do we want to, like, risk what the invaders, like, are coming for? So, like, the question is, what do these invaders want? Which is a good question. It's like, okay, maybe these people just maybe, I don't know, want someone's brother back. Maybe that's not so bad.
Yeah. So Calico's like, okay, I don't know what they want, but let's get the long-eared hearer to listen in on the invaders' conversation. So the Ruggedo sends for the long-eared hearer, who is this gnome with enormous ears. And he comes in and bows to the king, and the Gnome King's like, okay, here's the deal. Some strangers are coming. I don't know what they want. I need you to, like, listen to what they're saying and tell me what they're coming here for.
So the long-eared hearer is, like, understands the task. He just has these enormous long ears, and he spreads them out. They're, like, fanning around and, like, kind of, like, twitching. And he listens for like half an hour. And the Gnome King and Calico are actually starting to get pretty like upset about how long it's taking. But well, like
you're not going to get any information. It's like if they're just walking around.
Yeah. Well, but exactly. That's what I
to wait till they say something like, important.
Yeah, they had to wait.
Yeah, it's going to take half an hour sometimes. Sorry. Yeah. But finally, the long-eared hearer is like, the Shaggy Man is coming here to rescue his brother from captivity. And the Gnome King's like, the ugly one? I don't care if the Shaggy Man takes the ugly one. He can have him.
He says he's lazy and that he like is always in the way. And I'm like, okay, why is he the ugly one?
Yeah, are you like having sex with them?
Ew.
Why did it go there?
The Gnome King could have anything going on, though.
Well, it's like, why would you call him ugly then?
Yeah. A shirt can be ugly.
You're not, well, is he wearing him?
I wouldn't call him the ugly one if his shirt was ugly. I don't know. But we'll see. So, and honestly, well, maybe we'll see.
The Gnome King asks Calico, he's like, where is the ugly one now anyway? And Calico reminds him that the last time the Gnome King tripped over the Ugly One, he commanded Calico to send him to the Metal Forest.
And Gnome King is like, oh, the Metal Forest, okay. That Metal Forest that I personally built out of gold and silver, but like I even can't find that sometimes.
Yeah, he's like, I hit it
he's
so
like,
well.
I don't even know where I put that thing.
He's like, good luck, Shaggy Man. You're not going to find your brother. Ha ha.
Yeah.
But it's like they're still on their way to you. They're not on their way to the Metal Forest
anymore. Yeah.
But the Gnome King asks the long-eared hearer if the strangers want anything else. And this is where it gets bad. Because the Shaggy Man wants his brother. That's fine. That's cool. Whatever. But we've contracted an army to come and help us. And that army wants something.
Oof.
Yeah. He's World like
domination.
Exactly. Starting with the Gnome King and his treasures. Queen Anne and the soldiers are going to take the plunder and split it about. And then the Gnome King goes into another, like, hellacious tantrum.
Mental breakdown.
He pulls the ears of the long-eared hearer apart. He's like twists them and like starts tying them up.
Don't hurt the messenger.
Well, yeah, Calico grabs the
king's scepter. He's got nothing to do with it.
And he smacks him on the hands. Oh. And Calico is like, oh, fuck. And then so he starts fucking running. The Gnome King is chasing him around the throne.
The
long-eared hearer, like, limps away, like, holding his ears and his hands. Like, they're all broken and bloody.
Oh, my.
And then, probably. And
then I was like, bloody? Yeah. God damn.
Yeah. But then, eventually, the Gnome King gets fucking tired of chasing Calico, and he, like, collapses in his throne, like, heaving and wheezing and, like, just really giving week three of a couch to 5K.
But Calico tells the Gnome King, he's like, you have to save your strength to fight the enemy. Like, the army of Oogaboo is strong, which I know, apparently. And,
yeah, right.
We need to be ready. And the Gnome King's like, there's not going to be a battle with Oogaboo. Because I am dropping them down the hollow tube.
And Calico just like goes into a fit. And he's like, what about TDT Hoochoo? Like, what about TDT Hoochoo?
The Gnome King says, TDT Hoochoo, shmimimi poo poo.
Yeah. I'm going to start saying that. I'm not going to remember it, but I'll say it.
But the Gnome King, he tells Calico to go to his chief magician and order him to turn the path toward the hollow tube.
And I'm like, there's been a magician this whole time.
Yeah, what the heck?
Like, couldn't they have tried something
else? Why do
we
need
first?
Old long ears?
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's hear him and look at him. Like, couldn't they have just done something? Or just turn them around. The path. Okay.
Yeah, switch up. Well, is that only a Glinda thing?
No, because literally, and it's crazy, but what this magician does is he turns the path they're on toward the mouth of the hollow tunnel and then makes it invisible. So he does the exact same like path bending thing that Glinda does. So I'm like, why didn't they just do that from the start? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So Calico does not agree with the decision. He's like, oh, it doesn't feel right, Mr. Paradise. So Calico does it, and he doesn't feel right about it, but he finds a magician. He has it done. And after talking with the magician, he goes back to his room, and he starts writing letters of recommendation to himself because he's like, if the Gnome King is going to defy TDT Hoochoo, like, he's done for, and I'm going to need a new job. So he's literally writing his own letters of recommendation for his next job.
What? He has no references.
Hey, you're the he one who said he needs to get out of
there. He can't remember anyone.
Yeah. But that is the end of chapter 9. Regido's rage is rash and reckless.
Whoa.
Break? What would you say that?
I would say that bouncing into trouble.
Wow.
Ooh.
These fucking alliterations. Chapter 10. A terrible tumble through a tube.
So, since Polychrome is a fairy, and the Oogabooites are of Oz, and so they should be less sensitive to magic tricks.
I don't get this.
None of them should have been very easily tricked by the magic trap that the Gnome King set.
But, like, because they're fairies and from Oz, they should be able to, like, disarm other magic easier.
Those,
like,
are the only places that
magic
happens.
Well, I mean, but like there is, like, Ev and all the other fairy countries, but it just means that, like, I just don't get it, because basically he says, like, the magic that the Gnome King's magician used to, like, twist the path and, like, make the thing invisible, like, was just common. It's easy magic. Anyone could do it. And I'm like, could they do it?
So the, like, Oogaboos are from Oz, where, like, magicians and witches aren't even allowed to exist. So,
yeah,
like,
I just don't
what
get
are you
it.
Talking about? Yeah, yeah. Weird, weird, weird. Anyway, unfortunately, no one was suspecting anything strange. So they all marched down the path that is leading them to the hollow tube.
And TikTok is, of course, in the first. He's the private. And he disappears. But again, it happens so fast that everyone, and this time it makes a little more sense, because everyone thinks he turned a corner. So they're just like, oh, he went around the corner, whatever, we're just going to follow. But then the first private, and then eventually the entire fucking army just whoop, all the way down, including Queen Anne. Because Anne is like, where the fuck are they? Where did they go?
She literally runs forward.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, if you're not saw everyone disappearing, I maybe wouldn't run towards that.
Yeah, seriously. And that's why I wondered, like, what she saw. Because, like, if I looked up and everyone was gone, I'd be like, what's going on? Like, I'm not expecting an illusion, but, like, I don't know. But she ran, and then she's gone.
So Betsy and Hank and Polychrome and Shaggy, they're holding up the rear. And the thing is, Hank is walking forward. Betsy is sitting backward on him, talking to Shaggy Man and Polychrome, who are walking behind Hank. So Betsy, Shaggy Man, and Polychrome don't see any of this happening.
Yeah.
All Hank should have. But all of a sudden, Hank's falling, which means Betsy's falling, which means Polychrome and the Shaggy Man are falling. We're all in the tube.
Well, and then also the Rose Princess and Files.
Oh, Rose Princess and Files are in the very
But they're
back.
Also in the back, so they don't know either.
It's giving and they're the earth cracking open and
Zeb and Dorothy falling
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Well, that's an incredibly astute observation, because as they tumble in here, it's pitch black. They can't see anything. And they are screaming because they're just falling down and down. But unlike when they opened, or when the earth opened up and swallowed Zeb and Dorothy, they're like, they're on a surface. Like, it's like they're on a really steep slide. So they're still, like, sitting on the rock, just, like, sliding down. But, like, they can't stop. There's nothing to grab onto. They're just, like, probably, honestly, like, creating an insane amount of friction, and they're going to light on
fire.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, ow, honestly, I didn't, like, think about that.
I didn't think about that either until now.
Betsy, at one point, like, her heels, like, go up because she's, like, rolling over herself, and she feels her feet, like, touch something above her, too.
Oh,
so it's like
no.
They're in a slide.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving water park.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Betsy's screaming for Hank to stop. He can't. They're all rushing down in a line. And just like when Dorothy and Zeb fall into the center of the earth, they're falling for so long that they kind of, like, get used to it.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to hit the end anytime soon.
We're chilling.
Yeah. They're like, the shock wears away, and they're like,
take a nap.
Where are we? Yeah. No, they unbelievably, they don't. But, like, it is pitch black. All they can hear is, like, pretty much, like, just, like, the rush of air by their ears because they're going so fast. Like, they can't do anything. But at some point, Dorothy, oh my God, Betsy. At some point, Betsy is like, oh my God, like, Hank, isn't this fucking awful? And Anne hears her because she's just in front of them. So this is when we find out, like, Anne and the soldiers and TikTok are, like, heading up the front. Then there's, like, a few feet in between, and then there's Betsy and Hank, and then another few feet, and then it's, like, Shaggy Man, Polychrome, the Rose Princess, and Files. All so, like, they're all, like,
single
together.
File line.
Exactly.
Single private files line.
Yes, exactly.
But, yeah. And it's honestly kind of cool because Anne hears Betsy like talking to Hank and she's like, Betsy, are you okay? Are you safe? And she's like, oh, you care? Like, that's nice. But Betsy's like, yeah, like, I don't know how okay I am. I'm hurtling through the darkness at 60 miles an hour.
I'm kinda scared.
60 miles a minute.
Yeah. But Betsy is like, Anne, like, do you know where we're going? Like, where do you think we're going? And Shaggy Man hears this, and for some reason, we know that he hates when people ask questions in this book. And he says, yeah. Hey, don't ask her that. Nobody knows where we're headed until we get there. Like, we don't know. We're just going to get there.
Yeah, I don't know why he keeps doing this.
I don't either.
But Betsy's like, Polychrome actually climbs up on the Shaggy Man's head, which makes you realize, I'm like, so she's like small. I never realized she was so small. I thought she and Dorothy were the same size.
I thought she and Dorothy
Betsy were the same size.
I think they are the same size.
It says she sits on the Shaggy Man's head.
I thought it more like in like a they're falling, so they're tumbling together. I don't read that as her being tiny. But I guess she does eat dewdrops.
Well, yeah, she
for a whole meal.
It says,
I can't take that.
It says she gets on the Shaggy Man's head. At one point, he's like gently like moving her heel out of his eye. It says. So I'm like, how big is she?
Nope. I'm not gonna be okay with that. We're gonna think about that later on.
Okay. Yeah. Let's not do that.
Someone send me a picture of Polychrome, quick.
Yeah.
Next to a hand.
Exactly. I was gonna say he's like for scale.
But Betsy's like, look, I'd like to know where we're headed. And Polychrome's like, just be patient. We'll find out. And Polychrome just kind of points out something useless. She's like, isn't it crazy that my home's in the sky, but here I am hurtling through the center of the earth?
Don't.
Yeah.
We're all in the center of the earth, too, and we don't belong here, too.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. I'm usually on top of the earth.
Right? Yeah.
So and just because you're a little higher than the rest of us don't mean shit.
Yeah.
But Betsy is straight up just like, how do you know we're in the center of the earth?
Yeah, that too. Well, I mean, they've been falling for a little while, but also they're in the mountains.
That's true.
Polychrome knows yet another thing. Like, she knew about Ruggedo for whatever reason why, and now she knows about this too. You want to give us some lore?
So, Polychrome implies that they can't be anywhere else, and she's actually heard of this passage, this tube, if you will. There was a tube built by the super powerful magician. It went all the way through the earth because he didn't want to be troubled with like traveling on the outside of the earth and like going around. So he just wanted to go through. So that's great. But you might think, oh, well, what happened to him? And actually what happened is that he went through the tube, ended up going so fast that he flew out the other side, went up into the sky and hit a star and the star exploded. And no one knows what happened to him.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, that's the thing. Betsy's like, well, what happened to the magician? And Polychrome's like, nobody knows. And she's like, well, the star exploded. What's going to happen to us? But Polychrome says, I'm pretty sure he was going the other way. And also, we're not going as fast as he was.
How do you
like,
know?
Exactly. How does she know any of that?
Give me the receipts, baby. Yeah, and then I'll believe you. Otherwise, I'm exploding by a star.
Yeah. But Shaggy Man is like, we are going fast enough for me. But they continue sliding down. But they're kind of in higher spirits because they're like, okay, like this fall's taking a while. And like we're all able to talk to each other. Like we know everyone's here and everyone's okay.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes them feel a little bit better for now.
Yeah. And Files and Ozga are like at the back of the group this whole time. They're like holding on to each other, like telling each other it's gonna be okay, and like, oh, like just reassuring each other and like being very
boyfriend
romantic
girlfriend for sure.
And then they keep falling for like over an hour.
Finally.
Which is horrible. And it's pitch black, too. Ugh.
Yeah, and like you have no idea when it's going to end or how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Like you could just go splat. It's like, oh, we're all having such a good time.
Or you could land onto like a
just
spike.
Just all of a sudden it
just
ends.
One big spike.
Suddenly, though, TikTok, he pops out into broad daylight. He like flips in the air and he splashes down into a marble fountain.
And there, that's where he gets crushed. Because he cannot have fallen through the earth and then not landed somewhere and been destroyed.
Yeah, that would have broken him into several pieces.
It's
like he would have
crazy.
Because you've been falling for a while, yeah. So you're gaining momentum.
Why didn't he hit the star? Why didn't he hit the star?
Yeah.
That's my question. But then, all of a sudden, all the officers come through after him. They flip through the air, they land on a big pile on the ground, and they just go, as they land. That's it.
Bleed.
Nothing bad.
Okay.
While this is happening, a strange little person is hoeing pink violets in a garden, and he sees these people just bursting out of the tube, and he's like, for the love of sassafras, what can all this mean?
And then Queen Anne herself flies out of the tube, and she does a triple somersault and then lands on this guy's head, like fully knocking him down, pushing his crown onto his head and on like over his eyes, and they just tumble on the ground together.
Then, like, Hank comes through with Betsy on his back. Since Betsy's on his back, they're a little heavier. They just kind of, like, slide out. Like, they don't get air and fly through the air like other people.
Oh.
They look, then, like, the Shaggy Man and Files and stuff, like, they come through and they're, like, looking around. And everyone sees this peculiar person and Anne rolling around on the ground fighting.
And like, this guy is choking her out.
He is choking literally. Anne.
She's, like, grabbing his hair and going,
oh, my God.
Yeah, and they're just rolling.
How old is Anne?
She's old enough to make jelly.
My guess is like she like looks 20, but she's 400.
Yeah, but she's like an adult
that's
woman.
Not what I was expecting.
I think her and the Rose Princess both
oh,
are
that's
like
right,
maidens.
They like live forever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So who knows?
Okay,
but yes.
They're from Vampire Diaries.
Yes,
but this is not a man.
Time to go back to high school.
It is not a man choking out a young girl, though. It is a man choking out a woman queen,
yes.
Warlord.
The officers get on their feet. They're trying to separate the man from Anne. And looking around, like the gang like realizes that they're in the garden of what seems to be the garden of a great prince, they say. They look through the trees and the shrubbery, and they can see the towers of a castle, like real nearby, like they're on the castle or near the castle.
They're like in the castle walls. They're like within the walls, it seems like.
And the only person in the beautiful garden is this peculiar person who's like literally like shaking the officers off of him and is like fixing his crown. And the Shaggy Man comes and like helps with the crown. And once the guy can see again, he looks around and he's like, who the hell are you people? What are you doing here? How did you get here?
And Betsy, like Anne can be fiery in the best of times. And Betsy is like, oh, okay, I'm actually going to just jump in here and tell her, like, who we are. But she just says, like, oh, like, we actually don't know where we're from. And because, you know, we kind of were all shipwrecked there and stuff. But, like, we didn't actually mean to come here. We went through, like, this hollow tube.
The guy's like, don't call it a hollow tube. The fact that it's a tube means that it's hollow. You don't have to tell me it's a hollow tube. I'm not an idiot. It's
Whoa.
A tube.
Which is fair. Like, I mean, it's an unkind way to speak, although they are strangers who assaulted you.
Yeah, I'm like, this thing has a name.
Yeah.
And that's what I was told, so that's what I'm saying.
No hollow tube.
I don't care if it's hollow or not hollow or very hollow.
Well,
all tubes are hollow. What are you doing here?
But one thing they should care about, and that he tells us, is that this tube is private property. And they are trespassing, and they are forbidden to fall through it and onto his property.
Betsy's like, dude, we did not do it on purpose. Which
yeah,
is probably like
us.
Only the second civilization she comes to, she's being told like she cannot be there.
Yeah.
But Polychrome is like, we're pretty sure Ruggedo pushed us down the tube, and he gets worked up. And this guy's like, did you say Ruggedo?
And he's like, Ruggedo? Ruggedo? Say it again.
Oh no.
And Shaggy Man is like, yeah, like, we're pretty sure, like, it was him. Like, we were actually on our way to conquer him. And, like, it seems like he pushed us through. And he's like, this like peculiar guy is like, oh, so like your enemies of Ruggedo then.
That's he's like, well, we're not really enemies because we don't know him, but we were trying to conquer him, so we're not friends. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And the peculiar person's like, true. Okay.
interesting.
Craziness. He looks over his shoulder and he says, never mind the fire and the pincers, brothers. Let's take them to the private citizen. And there's no one around. There's no one standing around.
He looks
like,
crazy.
But then a deep, disembodied voice says, very well, Tubekins.
Tubekins.
His little nickname.
Yeah.
He's like, that's my pet name for you.
Yeah, Tubekins. Tubekins.
This scares the hell out of the gang, though. And they take a closer look at the peculiar person in this moment, for whatever reason why. We finally get a description of him.
And this is insane.
This guy has a beautiful, expressionless face, which immediately says Mangaboo to me. He has huge blue eyes and perfectly white teeth.
Black, curly hair. A scarlet robe. It's sleeveless. It's like stops at his knees. So it's kind of just like a little like tank top tunic. Yeah. And then we get to the really strange part. His arms are bright yellow. One is bright yellow. And one is green. One leg is blue. One leg is pink. And he's wearing sandals. And both of his feet are pitch black. So immediately Betsy is like, I don't know if that's what like his skin tone is. Or like if he dyed his skin or painted it. Because like that doesn't look quite right. But she keeps that to herself. Obviously.
Respectful.
Yes.
But Tubekins is like, follow me to the residence.
Yeah. Also, residence, capital R.
Yeah.
Just gonna say
that means.
And when he said he was gonna take them to the private citizen, it was private citizen P, like capital P, capital C. So all these things are getting capitals. Just saying.
It's all titles. Before they can go, another disembodied voice is like, "There's another one, Tubekins, lying in the fountain."
And we all forgot about TikTok. Yeah.
It's his book.
The private. It's his book.
But Shaggy and Betsy are like, oh shit, TikTok's in the fountain? Like, that can't be good for him.
Yeah. And Betsy's like, he'll drown. Because she's still thinking about the shipwreck.
Yeah. And Shaggy is like, well, he'll at least rust. I mean, we know that much.
Yeah, not good for the clockwork.
But before they can make it over to the fountain, invisible hands lift TikTok out of the fountain. They set him down on his feet. And TikTok's like, many
oh no.
And then he tries to walk.
Wind him up.
Well, that's what Betsy says. She's like, oh, he must need a wind up. But then Shaggy Man's like, actually, like, I think he just needs to be oiled. But also, during this moment, there are disembodied laughs all around them. Yeah, like, it looks like there's no one in the garden.
We're surrounded.
All of a sudden,
people.
It's like they can feel that the air is thick with people. Like, it's like disturbing to them. And they're like, oh my God. And then suddenly someone is holding an oil can up in front of Shaggy Man's head, but it's invisible hand. So he just sees the oil can.
Shaggy just like takes it and goes over to TikTok and starts oiling him. While he's doing that, he feels this warm air being blown at TikTok. Like, these invisible people are standing around TikTok helping Shaggy get him better.
Yeah. But it works. And TikTok says, many thanks, and he walks around just fine. Yeah,
he's back.
He was back.
Help me, pick me up.
Oh no!
But Tubekins, he picks up right where he was left off, and he's like, "Come." So Tubekins turns around, he walks up the path toward the castle, and Anne is like asking her officer. She's like, Should we listen to him, or like, are we an army?
But before she can even finish, a strong hand shoves her forward, like almost pushes her down.
She almost like breaks her neck.
Yeah, like pushes her up the path. And so she's like, oh my God, okay, I'm going. And then the officers are getting shoved and kicked forward too. So then they're also going.
Okay.
And then they're like, okay, we're going to follow them.
Our main gang, they're like, gotta go. Like, we're going.
Time to go.
But like, also like, what's your other option is go back through the tube. So it's like, you may as well go wherever this is going.
God. Yeah. Stay with your friends. And that is the end of chapter 10, a terrible tumble through a tube. And Blake, what would you tumble that?
Totally tubular.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to Ozzor. Please join us next time as we continue with chapter 11, The Famous Fellowship of Fairies. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Ozzor Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swingham. Co-hosted by Hannah Geary. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Globus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.